Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Most people don't travel to Venice and think sea monsters, but most people aren't. Novelist Christopher Moore, Current State's Emmanuel Berry, had the chance to speak with the New York Times bestselling author, who has an appearance at Schuler Books Eastwood Town Center this weekend. Emmanuel, what did you learn about this latest novel from Christopher Moore, The Serpent of Venice?
Well, it's set against the backdrop of Venice, hence the title. And it blends together Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice and Othello, and then also throws in a little bit of Poe. You just then throw in a couple of sea monsters, humor, body prose, and that's The Serpent of Venice, his latest novel. It's actually a sequel to his novel Fool, which retells King Lear from the perspective of the witty and lewd court jester who's named Pocket. But Moore's work goes beyond retelling literary classics. His other books include Lamb, the story of Jesus from the perspective of his childhood friend Biff, a trilogy of vampire books, and A Dirty Job, which follows a newly employed merchant of death. Although many of his books feature these dark and tragic topics and events, they're written with humor. It's sort of Moore's comedic take on the world.
I've actually tried to write some more serious stories before, and I don't get very far in before I start to joke about stuff. So it's not, I mean, so for a long time, that's how I approach things, is my take on the world tends to be comedic. And dealing with darker subjects that tend to not always be approached with humor is just sort of, again, my way of dealing with it. I fancy myself a horror story writer when I first started, and it was only when I was reading my stories aloud in workshops and people started laughing at how I turned a phrase that I thought, well, maybe I'm better at doing funny stories, but I think I still have a little bit of the horror story writer in me.
Your latest novel, The Serpent of Venice, is a sequel to your book, Fool, which retold Shakespeare's King Lear through the lens of the fool in that book. And in your book, he's named Pocket. As if tackling Lear weren't enough, in The Serpent of Venice, you've combined two of Shakespeare's works, The Merchant of Venice and Othello, and you've also thrown in a sea monster and a little bit of Poe. Why did you decide to combine all of these works to tell this story?
I started with Venice as a setting, and I had been in Venice. I had gone to the Mantua Literary Festival by invitation, and then afterwards, you know, since it wasn't far, I stopped over in Venice to see what it looked like. And I thought this would just be a great place to have to set a monster story, these really narrow alleys and all these, you know, obviously canals that the water's sort of murky, and these there's these hatches for the freshwater wells that sort of sit up, and you think, well, something creepy could come out of there. So it started with the setting, and then as I started to look at stories that had been set in Venice and things that I could do historically, because I didn't want to set it in modern Venice, it just sort of led me to you know, the Shakespeare plays that had been set there. And then once I started deciding I was going to take my Fool from Lear, then the other story that occurred to me was The Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe, which sort of is about a fool, or a guy dressed as a fool who's being walled up in a cellar in Venice. So that was really it. It all sort of sprung from wanting to tell a story that's set in Venice and then sort of spread out to the other things that I was familiar with and felt that I could handle putting into a story.
Fools in Shakespeare are often extremely minor characters. In Lear, in the original work, the fool disappears after the beginning, seeing him in the beginning. What about this character made you want to broaden his voice and explore him further?
I think it was more what the role of the fool was, well, in King Lear certainly, but in general at the time, was the fool was the one person who could speak truth to power. And when I wrote the first book, Fool, I was sort of reacting to how frustrated I was that I only felt like I was actually getting truth about political matters in the U.S. from comedians. And that sort of spurred the idea of writing a book about a fool. And then my editor suggested, when I proposed it, that I use King Lear's Fool. And it went forth from there. But really, it's the role of the fool that started it all, and then the specific character Pocket developed as I tried to, you know, give him more dimension than, as you say, the character in King Lear that just disappears after the first act.
You did a lot of research, I imagine, a lot of brushing up on your Shakespeare for Fool. What additional research did you have to do to complete The Serpent of Venice?
Well, in the case of both books, I don't think that I have whatever mental powers it requires to write in iambic pentameter, and I tend to write by ear, and I also had to write for both books a dialect that sounded Shakespeare-y but wasn't, you know, that was really easily understandable by the modern English speaker in America. So I listened to a lot of performances of the Shakespeare plays in both cases when I was writing both books, just so I could sort of write this Shakespeare-y sounding language by ear without having to do it by math, which I just don't think I have the ability. I think the invocation at the beginning of the book, there's a little bit of a verse that is written in iambic pentameter. It took me like 2 days to write. It's like a half a page
long. So we never would have gotten the book if
you... Yeah, I'd still be working on it. So so that's really... there was a fair bit of historical stuff to do about Venice in the 13th century, because my story is set in the 13th century while Othello and Merchant of Venice are set in the 16th century, 15th or 16th, probably 16th century. And so there was a change to find out, you know, what's going on politically and socially in Venice at the time. And it actually really added a lot to the book and the story to move it that, you know, 300 years from the 16th century.
One of the things that I find myself doing when I'm reading your work is laughing out loud, often at inappropriate times and inappropriate settings. Point is, books don't often, you know, cause me to laugh uncontrollably. How do you go about trying to translate that comedic timing onto the page? Because I think that's what gets me, is when I'm reading, I can hear it, I can see it.
I think that you hit on it, you know, sort of by accident, it's you hear it. And I was just actually yesterday talking to a friend of mine who's a very accomplished, brilliant stand-up comedian named Jake Johansson. And we were talking about that very thing, is that I told him, I said, I steal comic timing from you all the time. But because I write prose, no one will ever know it. You know, no one can hear it. But that's what it's the same as writing the Shakespearean dialect, but it's not Shakespearean. You take an audible comic timing and you just learn how to punctuate it. You learn how to sort of soften and going into the line and then delivering the line and sort of I don't want to be too analytical in an interview, but basically you do it by ear. I listen to how it would sound and then figure out, how do I write that down? And often it's, you put, you know, a line of description in to give you that pause that's needed to deliver the laugh, or you put a he said or she said in when you need a beat. So a lot of it, and most of it, I would have to say the comic timing comes from hearing it in my head before I write it down and just figuring out how to put that on the page so that you'll hear it in your head when you're reading it.
I'm speaking with Christopher Moore, author of many books, including Lamb, A Dirty Job, and Fool. His latest book is called The Serpent of Venice. I'm curious, you've tackled the story of Christ in Lamb, which is the retelling of Jesus's lost years by his best friend, Biff. And you've rewrote Shakespeare's Lear, and now in your latest book, The Merchant of Venice and Othello. Have you received a lot of grief from, I guess, purists for retelling these stories?
No, not at all. In fact, completely the opposite. You know, Lamb is being taught in at least a dozen seminaries that I know of, and in some really good universities and colleges that I would never be allowed into. So they've sort of transcended, you know, my base roots. And when I do hear from, particularly people in theater, I haven't heard too much from Shakespearean scholars, but I hear a lot of from teachers who teach Shakespeare to undergrad level or to high schoolers, and they love Fool. Obviously, they haven't been exposed to Serpent of Venice yet because it's just coming out. And actors and directors, theater directors, love it because King Lear can be a really, I don't want to say tedious, but it's a weighty play.
It is.
It's so hard to do. And if you imagine you're a director or an actor and you have to do 300 performances of it, you know, with that whining by King Lear, it'll just drive you nuts. And so to sort of take the wind out of King Lear's sails by having this smartass, for lack of a better word, just sort of skip through the whole thing and take control of it was, so people that work with the text a lot really like it, and they recognize the sort of references to all the other Shakespearean texts, of which there are quite a few. But if you don't get them, you're not missing anything. If you're not conversant in Shakespeare, the story still works. And that's always what I set out to do, is that you shouldn't have to have a familiarity with Othello or The Merchant of Venice or King Lear to enjoy the story. I want it to be able to stand on its own.
What's your least favorite part of the writing process?
Oh, the writing. Unfortunately, the most important part is also my least favorite part, and that's that you have to have a discipline to it when you write novels. You can't write novels sort of on a bolt of inspiration. They're just too big and too much of a project. So you really have to treat, the work with this sort of reverential drudgery. And the best part is inspiration, is when you just get to, sit there and think of all this goofy stuff and it's just sort of still amorphous, and it's sort of swirling in your head with ideas and characters and funny lines and all that stuff. That's the best part. It's just making stuff up is the best part, and probably having to write it down is the worst part. Which is not that I don't enjoy, I enjoy crafting the writing. It's the getting to the place where you're actually putting it down is just always been really difficult for me. And I've this is my 14th book, and I still have a hard time, getting my butt in the chair and doing the actual work. It's everything else seems so much more compelling and interesting when you have to face it that blank screen or blank page.
All of your books have been optioned for films, I believe. If you could see one and made into a movie, which one would it be and why?
I'd like to see A Dirty Job, which is my book about a guy getting the job of being deaf, and he runs it out of a secondhand store in Chinatown, because there's some great characters and there's some great creatures. I have this little girl is protected by these giant 400-pound hellhounds that just show up in her room in the middle of the night, and this little 5-year-old girl. And I would just love to see the hellhounds, to see what somebody who really, knew what to do with CG and so forth, because the character in it, he just doesn't know quite how to deal with them, so he starts feeding them frozen steaks and toast with dishwasher gel on it, and finally he's like throwing them transmission parts and they just chomp it down and don't even think about it. I think that it would be I would just like to see it. I mean, it's sort of less about what story I want to see on screen, but just stuff that I don't have the ability to actually make those things physically, and film people do,
Christopher Moore's books include Lamb, the Blood-Sucking Fiend series, A Dirty Job, and Fool. His latest novel is called The Serpent of Venice. As part of his book tour, Christopher will be at Schuler's Books at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.